Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing, The Devil is a Lie, Part 7, The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 1145, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1450, since January the 1st, 2016, Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, the Bible reads, "Wherefore I say unto you," these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that last minute idea and help, Lord, our maestro to get it done perfectly for your glory, praise, and honor. And Holy Father God, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for your mercy, your love, and your grace towards such wretched people as we are. And we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And we see in this verse how valuable the Holy Spirit is in the Holy Trinity. I fear that we do not show, that many people do not show the proper respect, not only for you, Holy Father God, and not only for you, Jesus Christ, but also for the Holy Spirit. Have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are to take such things lightly. Forgive us of all of our sins, and please forgive us of our sins of grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit, and help us to take your Holy Spirit seriously. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and his demons and the devils of hell, as we have read in this passage, who were fighting against you back then and they're fighting against us now. And Lord, give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that your Holy Spirit would draw those who you want to be here all around the world. Save those who are lost, as you saved Brian a few days ago. And revive those of us who are saved. And Holy Father God, cast out the demons of hell. Cast out the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas and betrayal, Jezebel, the demonic spirit of Jezebel, and treachery and rebelliousness. Cast out the demonic spirit of Sanballat and Tobias, of hindrance and distraction out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people here and the people out there. And Lord, give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and have everything to go smoothly, decently, and in order. And I pray for spiritual and mental and physical strength to preach your holy word, to preach the gospel, demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. For we are reminded, Lord, of a verse that you made, my life's verse. I can't even remember when you did this, but Lord, it was a long time ago. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So Lord, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Make sure YouTube going to Gospel House of Prayer is perfect, because, and make sure you check it over here periodically, because it's going to be over 1,000 people over there at Gospel House of Prayer today, at least. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John MacArthur said, forgiveness is based on repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Very simple. Now, if they concluded that Christ was filled with the devil, which is blasphemy, they certainly weren't going to listen to his message about repentance and about salvation and put their faith in him. The reason they could never be forgiven is because they would never believe. They would never believe. That's why they would not be forgiven. Because when they had been given all of the evidence there was, their conclusion was the very opposite of the truth. Therefore, they were hopeless as far as forgiveness was concerned. So Dr. John MacArthur is going a little deeper with this. And so, beloved, in our first message, we looked at the response to Jesus' healing. We saw that while the common people asked among themselves if Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of David, the Pharisees accused Jesus of gaining his power through the devil. In our second message, we saw how Jesus showed the absurdity of such an accusation, of the Pharisees' accusations, absurd. Jesus proved that he was of God. In our third message, we saw how Jesus showed that the kingdom of God has come by displaying his power over the devil. In our fourth message, we looked at how Jesus warned that there is no middle ground in the conflict between God and Satan, Jesus and Satan. Make up your mind who you will serve. And that's the deal today. Make up your mind whom you will serve, either God or the devil. In our fifth message, we began looking at how Jesus speaks judgment against those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto you, unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Warren Wiersbe defined blasphemy against the Holy Spirit this way. He said, "It appears that this situation existed only while Christ was ministering on earth. Jesus did not appear to be different from any other Jewish man. To speak against Christ could be forgiven while he was on earth, but when the Spirit of God came at Pentecost as proof that Jesus was the Christ and was alive, to reject the witness of the Spirit of God was final. The only consequence would be judgment." Dr. Alex Slabowski said, "Jesus Christ called the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, and warned us, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men." Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is conscious and hardened opposition to the Spirit of God and the Spirit, of course, of truth, because the Spirit is truth. Conscious and hardened resistance to the truth leads man away from humility and to pride, and leads man away from repentance, and without repentance there can be no forgiveness. That is why the sin of blasphemy against the Spirit cannot be forgiven. Since one who does not acknowledge his sin does not seek to have it forgiven. Dr. R.C. Sproul said, "Blasphemy of the Spirit is not the occasional bad thought or episode of anger against God that some white people have against God." And I say that tongue in cheek. I just don't know of many black folk who argue with God about anything. I don't know of many black folk who are angry with God about anything. I don't know of many black folk who have any questions for God. You know, some folks be talking about they're going to ask God this. I'm not asking God anything. I'm just going to be so glad to be there. So, that's Dr. That's this dear doctor and his folks. But anyway, I've never had an episode of anger with God. I don't have any questions for God. I have no doubt about God. I'm not mad at God about anything. I've never been mad at God about anything. I don't know how people even talk like that. Such things are sins, to be sure, he said, but they are not the persistent, deliberate rejection of the Lord's work that shows itself in a willful attribution of God's actions to Satan himself. Such blasphemy is unforgivable, not because the Lord is unwilling to forgive, but because a person guilty of such sin has fully and finally hardened his heart against the grace of God so hard that he has committed the unpardonable sin. Worrying about whether one has committed the unforgivable, unpardonable sin. Watch this now, because this is so true. Because I was afraid of this thing when I was a very young Christian, when I was a baby Christian. I said, how in the world? I want to make sure I don't do that. But here's the deal. And it goes like this. Worrying about whether one has committed the unforgivable sin or the unpardonable sin, which sounds far more horrifying, the unpardonable sin, is one of the clearest evidences that the troubled person has not committed this sin. See, if you're concerned about committing this sin and you have some fear in your heart about committing this sin, and you're concerned about the unpardonable sin, you have not committed that sin. Because people who have done this are so far gone and have such hatred against God, and we have some in this world today who are demon possessed. Such vitriol against God, they would not even care whether or not they committed the unpardonable sin. There are people who blaspheme God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost in this world today, in America. You ought not even be talking with them about the Holy Ghost, so that they won't say anything against the Holy Ghost. These people curse Jesus and curse God today. Whereas back when I was growing up, that was not the case. Not so much. For those who committed are so hardened in their hearts that they do not care that they committed. Have you ever run across people like this? They don't care that they blaspheme God's name, Jesus' name. And if they knew how to blaspheme the Holy Spirit's name, they'll do that too. These people are demon possessed. I know you folks don't like it. You don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. There are people in your family, people in your neighborhood, demon possessed. I wish there was some kind of registry of identifying people who are demon possessed in your neighborhood, just like there is for child molesters. But blasphemers of the Holy Spirit are so hardened against God that they do not care about sin. They don't care about the unpardonable sin. They only know what that is. Don't help them, because they'll commit that too, to your face, while you're saying the Lord's Prayer. So if we are repentant, we can be sure we have not blasphemed the Spirit of God. If you're concerned about it, if you are very, very interested in how not to do that, if you have a little godly fear inside of your heart that you hope that you've never done that, if you hope you've never done it, you have not done it. Don't worry about it. It's not anything going to slip up on you. It's not anything that will slip out. That won't even be in your mind. That won't enter into your heart, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, if you're a born again child of God and you're saved. No, sir. That won't even come close to you. The devil won't even mess with you on that one, I don't think. And maybe he can't. I don't know. But anyway, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the ultimate rejection of Jesus Christ. And do you notice as you read the scriptures about Jesus how straightforward he is about things like this? Straightforward, clear as a bell, not beating around the bush at all. This is the deal. It is representative of an utterly corrupt and unrepentant heart that views the miracles, the good works, and the salvation provided through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of God as evil. You may have somebody in your family who sees things that way. Don't cast your pearl before swine now. Be careful. You may have somebody in your family who's demon-possessed, in your extended family. Be careful not to cast your pearls before swine, because they will trample over it, because they have no respect for God. They have no respect for Jesus Christ. They have no respect for the Bible. They have no respect for the Holy Spirit. You got to watch these people who lay their Bible down on the floor. Put things on top of the Bible. Put the Bible anywhere now. You got in trouble for that when you were growing up as little children down in the South. You respect the Word of God, because it was written by the Holy Spirit of God. You honor and you respect God. You honor and you respect Jesus Christ. You honor and you respect the Holy Spirit of God. You honor and you respect the Word of God. Those who have hardened their wicked hearts in this manner cannot be forgiven, because they refuse to be forgiven. See, this is the terrible thing about the flesh and about our sinful human nature. Listen to me very carefully, and I feel sorry for some people because they have Pharaohistic style pride along with it. When you are so filled with yourself and you're so hard-headed and got a hard neck, stiff neck, and you're proud and stubborn and rebellious to the point you don't even want what is good for you, buddy, I tell you what, you're in a world of trouble. And there are men and women like that today. They refuse. They don't even want what's good for them. They don't want what will make them cheerful and joyful and at peace. And they will curse it and hate it and despise it and try to abuse it and trample over it with their feet if you're not careful. This is a curse, my dear friends. And I'm here to tell you. Now, I'm not a charismatic. I'm not a Pentecostal preacher. I have many on one side of my family that way. My dad was ordained a Baptist, and I'm a Baptist as well, a Baptist preacher. But there's something that the charismatics brought out that has some truth to it. This thing called generational curses, you better get an understanding of that in dealing with your family. And that's why I tell some of you single people, you need to go visit that fiance's family. Do you hear me? You need to go visit that fiance's family, and not just for a day and one little dinner. Ask them, can you stay at the house for a month? Not with your fiance. They don't need to be there. You need to find out what kind of generational curses of anger, generational curses of bitterness, generational curses of demon activity, thievery, murder, killing. How many are in jail? How many have been in jail for murder and other wicked, evil, and ungodly things? You need to find out for yourself before you marry that person. Because see, these people who you marry like that, they're not going to tell you about their ancestry. They're going to hide that. They're going to hide that and cover that up. They don't want you to know that their father held their mother's head under the sink, while the water was running, with a butcher knife ready to cut her head off. Lizzie Borden. They're not going to tell you about Lizzie Borden situation. Okay? They're going to tell you all that's good about their family, and that's probably not the case. And you can pick up, if you stay there for a month, give yourself a break, go out on the porch, but don't leave them. And you might hear some things through the walls. They may start saying negative things about you. Go ahead and deal with that, all of that, while you can up front. Don't be blinded by love now. Because the charismatics, they got something on this generational curses. For us to think that our grandfather and grandmother can be whorish and whoremongers, and then our parents the same way, and then somehow first generation Christians, that you're not going to struggle with that or have a problem, that's not realistic. While no other sin is unforgivable, this sin represents a deliberate refusal, a proud, obstinate refusal, a rebellious refusal to repent and accept the mercy and love and grace of God. Have you ever met people like that? Obstinate, stubborn, proud, Judases, Jezebels, who won't repent and will say so, and will try to defend and justify the evil that they're doing. Committing this sin is a refusal to accept God's forgiveness. That which is good for you, which of course leads to hell. Listen to me very carefully. There are people in your family who are going to go to hell because they're like this. They're proud, stubborn, stiff-necked. You can't tell them anything. If you try to help them with something, they're going to defend themselves, get angry, get bitter. This is a demonic situation, people. You folks need to stop trying to wrestle with flesh and blood, man. You're dealing with devils. Yes, in your family and in your church. And in the Christianity that we have today, we can't even reckon, most people can't even discern that the devil is working. In your marriage and in your family. You have family members who have secrets that they won't tell you. Moms and dads, grandparents. Here you getting ready to date somebody, coming to find out she's your half-sister twice removed. Then your great-grandmother said, don't bother with her, honey. Don't bother with her now. Why, Grandma? She's beautiful. Yeah, but something happened back with your grandfather some years ago and so forth and so on. And so, what are you trying to tell me, Grandma? Well, that's your family. That's your blood. That's your kinfolk. See, and the poor child got to wait to almost commit incest before somebody tells him the truth. This happens, and this has happened, people. It's just, see, this is the tragedy of sin. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. With lying great-grandmothers and lying great-grandfathers and lying grandfathers and mothers and lying fathers and mothers who believed back in the day down in the South, there's some things you take to the grave. If you were raised in the South in the black community, that's their philosophy. Some things you take to the grave. Have you ever noticed how older folk in the black community are very quiet about stuff? They're very quiet about stuff. A person who commits this sin has damned themselves with their total impenitence. If you have resisted the goodness of God to that point, then these words are falling on deaf ears anyway. For real. And there is no hope for you. And I feel sorry for people who hear the gospel every day, who live around the gospel every day, but they refuse to repent. Either to be saved or to become a better Christian. It's going to be hard on you in the day of judgment. You'll be better off humbling yourself. Humbling yourself and praying and seeking God's face and turning from your wicked ways and repenting. It's going to be a hard day of judgment for you one day. Those of you who lived around the gospel, you heard the gospel every day, you even helped a little bit in getting the gospel out, but you got so familiar with it, you turn your heart hardened against it. And now you don't want to hear anything about God. When you ought to be getting better, you're getting worse. But there is hope for every person who has committed any other sin, but not the unpardonable sin. Nobody can help you on that. Your sins will be forgiven if you will but come to Jesus Christ. How about it, dear friend? Are you ready to come to Jesus? Are you weary and weak and worn and tired? Are you ready to come to Jesus? For he invites you to come. He wants you to come. One evangelist in Lilburn, Georgia, produced some flyers for me one time that said something along the lines, come and dine. I was preaching a revival in Noonan, Georgia. And he printed those flyers for me. And Jesus says, come and dine. Why don't you come and dine today? If you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come and dine. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. Come and dine. Come ye who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest, Jesus Christ said. And he'll do it. He did it for me some 40 years ago. And I cannot imagine a better life over the past 40 years. I have no regrets. I have no wishes that I could have done something else other than serve Jesus Christ full time and preach the gospel for him oftentimes every day, oftentimes 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 times a day. I love it. I cannot possibly ask for a better life, and I cannot possibly ask for anything greater than salvation through Jesus Christ. That's my testimony. What is yours? If you don't have one, get one today. And here's how. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done evil in God's sight. We all have broken God's commandments. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, preacher, I have not broken his commandments. Yes, you have. Have you ever lied before? Have you ever stolen anything, regardless of the value, like a quarter from your father's drawer to buy some candy? Have you ever lusted in your heart after people and things? You know you have, you liar. Have you ever dishonored, disobeyed, or had a bad attitude towards your parents? Yes, just nod your head, yes. Have you ever dishonored God by taking his name in vain? We all have sinned against God, from the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, and even from Joel Osteen on down. He's a sinner too, and he'll tell you that. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell to spend eternity there if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and repent here on earth. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Notice how earnest and serious Jesus is about this matter called hell. You need to believe, dear friend, that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Hell is just as real as New York City. Makes no difference whether or not you've been there yet. It is there. I've been there. Jesus Christ was so earnest and so serious about this matter called hell, he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, more than any prophet, more than any preacher, more than any apostle, more than any writer. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And when he described hell, he talked about how that it was a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and a place where, he said, their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And dear friend, I don't care how bad you think you are not to want to, you are not to want to go to hell. Hell is a very real place. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. We all deserve to go to hell because we all have broken God's Ten Commandments. But Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You don't have to go to hell because Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, and all you have to do is believe in him. Trust in him. Accept him. Receive him. Pray and ask him. Call on him to save you. And he will do so. So just believe in your heart what Jesus told you to do. Whosoever believeth in him, believeth in Jesus Christ, you will be saved from hell and saved to heaven. So just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And call on his name, pray, and ask him to save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to go to heaven. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ in your heart. Call on his name to seal the deal, if you will. And I'll help you with the sinner's prayer. If you've never prayed the sinner's prayer before, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, and I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, paying my sin debt, that he was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today, and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins, past and present. And help me to turn from my sinful life and my evil life. And help me to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, by the power of God. If you prayed that prayer, meant it from your heart, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Have Entered Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email that to us and let us know at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and be the child of God that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.